Welcome to Have Guitar Will Travel, presented by Vintage Guitar Magazine, with your host, me, James Patrick Regan, otherwise known as Jimmy from the Deadlies. And today I'm speaking with singer, songwriter, and guitarist Ward Davis. In our conversation, Ward discusses where he currently lives, Hartsville, Tennessee, and where he grew up in Arkansas, and starting on the piano at age 6 and moving to guitar at 14 after losing at the Country Fair talent show to a guitar player, and then started playing jamborees around the area he lived in. Ward tells us about the shows he's doing now, supporting Cody Jinx with his band and his own shows. Ward tells us about his guitars, Larrabees outfitted with either Fishman or LR Bags pickups, and he discusses his Telecasters built by Nine Point Guitars in Louisiana. Ward discusses how he got hooked up with Cody Jinx in the first place, and how he got his songs in front of Willie Nelson and Merle Haggard, and gives us a lesson in the economics of songwriting. Ward talks about using an alias, Dusty Manchester, at writer's rounds to avoid the radius clause, and Ward tells us about his new album, Here I Am, which comes out in February, and he tells us about working with Brett Mason, Eddie Bears among others, and landing tracks on the Landman TV show. Ward describes why he chose to be on a label as opposed to releasing his own album independently, and Ward discusses his upcoming tour schedule after the holidays. Finally, Ward tells us about collecting historical documents and books from the 1800s, and his love of thrift stores, and his relationships and sobriety. To find out more about Ward, you can go to his website, warddavismusic.com. That's WARDDAVISMUSIC.com. Please subscribe, like, comment, share, and most of all, review this podcast. I really appreciate it. And please support Vintage Guitar Magazine and all the wonderful things they do for us guitar players, because they do so many wonderful things for us guitar players. Here's my friend Ward.
Hey there, Ward.
What's going on?
How are you, sir?
I'm good, dude. What's up?
Well, it's another beautiful day. I don't know where
you are. Yeah, man. Man, I'm in Hartsville, Tennessee.
Hartsville, Tennessee. Where is that exactly?
It's like an hour, a little over an hour northeast of Nashville.
Okay.
Yeah, it's kind of out in the boonies.
And what brings you to Hartsville?
My ex-wife's hometown.
So you're raising your ex-wife?
No. We have two little girls, If I want to live close to them, I got to live in Hartsville.
Yeah, of course. That makes perfect sense.
Yeah, man. Well, thanks for having me on, dude. This is really cool.
No, it's absolutely my pleasure. Thanks for being on. And you're originally, where are you from?
I grew up in southeast Arkansas.
Okay. And what did you do in southeast Arkansas?
Not much, man. I was a kid. I left when I was 20. Moved to Nashville in 2000. So I've been here for a long time.
When did you start playing music?
I started playing piano when I was 7. My dad bought us a piano, and me and my sister started getting piano lessons. I got kicked out of piano lessons when I was 10 because all I wanted to do was play Garth Brooks. I wouldn't read music. I was listening to records and just playing what I heard. And
sure.
My piano teacher didn't know what to do with that.
And when did you get a guitar?
Well, let's see. I think I'd be 14. I used to play at the County Fair talent show every year, and I'd win because I was the only kid playing piano. And then one year I decided I was gonna play piano and sing, and I played against this kid named Kent Early. Yeah, he played guitar and sang. He sang this George Strait song called "When Did You Stop Loving Me?"
Of course.
And he was he made all the girls swoon, and he beat me like a rug. And so I went home that night. And my dad had this old Hohner guitar that he'd won in a poker game, sticking in a corner. And I went and started, getting calluses.
Very good. And so how early on did you start, like, gigging on your own? I mean, the talent show is one thing, but, like, playing in whatever coffee houses or bars.
My dad was pretty staunch about what I was exposed to. So I never really played like conventional, like bar gigs. I did a lot of parties and stuff back home. Wow. I played a lot on like the jamboree circuit, which was really interesting. It's like these little Opry's and jamborees scattered around, and so you go there on a Saturday night, you do two songs, and then you go home.
Yeah, So in these jamborees, like it's a whole bunch of performers doing a few songs each.
Yeah, they would do like everybody would do two songs. There'd be like six or seven. Everybody would do two songs, uh-huh. and then like that would be the first half, and then there would be an intermission, and then there would be like a featured performer, and it was like the coveted headlining position to get to be that featured performer and, okay. and get that $100.
Do these jamborees still go on? Do they still exist?
Man, I don't know. Hard to say. I know the main ones that I used to play at all closed down okay. probably years ago. You know?
Yeah. What are the venues that you're playing now?
Let me see, man. Well, right now, this weekend, I'm playing in Las Vegas with Cody Jinks at the Cosmopolitan. Okay. Doing two nights in there.
Yeah.
I'm playing here in Nashville, New Year's Eve, Third and Lovely.
That's a great gig.
I love that place, man. That was the first place I played in town with a full band, like, you know, 20 years ago.
Yeah. When you do your gigs this weekend, are you gonna? Is it just you and a guitar, or is it you and a whole band?
No, I'm bringing the band out for those.
That's just impressive.
Yeah, man. Well, Cody pays me pretty okay. well, so it's good. We've got rooms. They're not nice, but we've got rooms.
Sure. Yeah. And are you gonna drive out, or are you gonna fly out?
Nah, we're all gonna fly out, just in and out. I think I'm actually backlining my tour manager was gonna drive our stuff out there, but he's had some medical stuff pop up, so we're just gonna backline it.
So what does it look like for you? Like, what are you playing when you're gonna do these gigs?
Man, I'll probably just play acoustic. I've got a. You know, I've got enough records. I normally have the keyboard or a piano with me. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's an opening set. And you don't want to hop around too much. So sure, I'm just going to take the old Larrivé. Actually, the new Larrivé. I just got a new one this past year. I haven't taken it out on the road yet. I'm going to christen it in Vegas.
Right on. And do you know what model the Larrivé is?
It's a triple alt 60.
Okay. Wow.
Man, it's a beaut, dude. It's got the Moonwood sprue. No, it doesn't have the Moonwood. I got the 50. It's got the Moonwood, but I love those Larrivés, dude. They're nice.
Right on. Do you, are you like endorsed, or do you have any kind of relationship with those guys?
I don't know if they endorse me. They give me a really good deal when I call.
That's endorsing right there.
Yeah. I deal with John Jr.
Okay.
He set me up. He called. Well, I called him and told him what I needed, and he said, "Man, that's a real shame because I just got this one back from a review, and it's going to sell pretty quick." And I was like, "What is it?" And he told me it's triple alt 60, and I said, "How much?" And he told me, I said, "Do it."
What are the onboard electronics on that guitar?
I think it's got the bags. The one that I've been using, I had a triple alt 3 that I've been touring with that thing for 10 years, probably. But it's got I think it's a Fishman Matrix. Do you remember those things?
Sure. Yep.
Yeah, I think that's what that one's got in it. But I got the LR bags and the new one.
Cool. Yeah. And are you using any kind of effects, or is it just going straight into the board?
It depends, man. I got a chorus. I got a Boss chorus pedal there. You know, it just depends on the song. Depends on the room. You know, I hate to have too much of that shit on it, but
I know.
But a little bit killed me.
Yeah. How did you get hooked up with Cody?
Man, I was touring down in Texas, and I got. Just got the opportunity to open for him, or not really the opportunity, but I got my name thrown in the hat, and he hadn't really exploded at that point.
Yeah.
but I knew I could. I saw pretty quick he was going to. But man, he just through some synchronicity, we ended up getting that gig, and he put me on one show, and then he put me on another one, and pretty soon we were writing songs and touring, and pretty soon after that we were on TV and doing all this shit. Man, I couldn't believe it was going on, but. Yeah, man, he's a good friend ever since I met him, man. We were at Floor's Country Store in Helotes, Texas. That was the first show.
Wow, right on. Yeah. And how'd you get the song placed with Willie Nelson, amongst others?
Man, I wrote that with Marla Cannon. Gosh, dude, I don't know, 2012 maybe. I don't maybe before that, 2011. Willie was looking for a duet with a female artist. I think I remember it was Sheryl Crow. It was either Sheryl Crow or Nora Jones. I can't remember. But anyway, we sent the song to her dad was producing the record, Marla's dad, Buddy Cannon.
Okay.
And she sent it to Buddy, and Buddy was in the studio with Kenny Chesney, and Kenny heard it. And so Chesney wanted it, and we saw dollar signs. Yeah. So we told him we'd hold on to it for him. And so Willie never heard it. And then, you know, years passed, and Kenny never recorded it. And I caught wind that Willie and Merle were doing that duet record, and I called Marla. I called her, and I said, hey, you know, why don't you throw this at your dad again, see what he says. I know he liked it the first time. And he sent it to Willie, and Willie loved it. And I didn't know until the day they recorded. I mean, it all came down to what Merle thought. And, the day of, Merle heard it, said, yeah, let's do it. And changed my life.
Sure, sure. Not to get too personal, but how, as a songwriter, does that pay your bills?
No, not at all. you know, that song in particular doesn't, because I don't own my publishing.
Oh, okay.
I will say that on the ones that I do, the ones that I do own that I've written with Cody, I make a little bit. You know, it's not a. The way people listen to music doesn't really pay songwriters a lot. It pays more to the artists that record them, but, you know, songwriters are kind of, we're broke dicks, man. We always will be.
So are you making a living playing gigs, or are you doing something outside of that?
Well, I do gigs. I put my own records out. So, you know, obviously, like, you know, streams and sales and stuff. But yeah, that man, that's primarily it. I've been talking about, my manager and I have been talking about maybe doing a podcast. I'm maybe going to record 4 episodes and see how that goes. Everybody's doing a fucking podcast, though, dude.
I have one.
Well, you know, man, like, then you understand, dude, it's hard to get anybody to. There's a million of them. It's hard to get your anything going.
You are absolutely correct.
I was listening to a podcast before this, and it was somebody that I already knew who they were, like somebody famous, you know, it was Bill Maher. But yeah, man, we talked about that. Obviously I'm still writing, and the thing about songwriting, like when I write songs with Cody, especially, like Cody's real generous with stage time, and like he invites me out to do our songs together, and so
cool.
He always shines a really big light on the fact that we've written a lot of these songs together, and that brings people to my shows, brings people to my records. So like, you know, songwriting doesn't always pay the bills, but it kind of like it. If the money finds its way to me eventually sometimes.
Good. I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you have the shows that are on your schedule and all that. I mean, do you play at like brew pubs and stuff in town and where you live, or apart from that?
I would. We're playing like, you know, like I'm playing at Third and Lindsley. I live just far enough out of Nashville that I cut into a radius clause, you know, like it's not, I guess I could drive you know, an hour and do that. But if I did something around here, like I even, my booking agent even gets, you know, scruffy with me whenever I do a writer's round in town. I always I use an alias. My alias is Dusty Manchester. So whenever I do a writer's round, I'm always on the bill as Dusty Manchester.
And your agent knows this?
Yeah, yeah. He gets really pissed if it's not that. He yelled at me.
Oh my god! Damn. Who's the woman that's singing on with Nothing on You? Who's the woman that does a duet with you?
Man, that is Juliana Rankin, and isn't she fantastic?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Dude, she sings her ass off. She's from South Texas, like New Braunfels around there. She's a friend of mine, man. I asked her if she'd sing on it because she's, you know, A, because she's wonderful, and B, you know, I wanted people to ask and I wanted to introduce her.
Sure.
But dude, she's got more going on than I do. Like, she's getting ready to put a record out. It's going to be on a label with like some really big shit behind it. Like, and it all happened since we recorded that. So I had to call a record label and make sure it was okay. I called her, man. I get a kick out of it because I'm proud of her. You know, I'm really, really proud of her. She's great. She's gonna have a great career. So.
Oh yeah.
She did me a great favor singing on that.
You did her a favor too. On the record, are you playing? You're playing acoustic guitar for sure. But like, who's playing the electric guitar?
I'm gonna say. So a couple of those, most of it is a guy named Josh Brown, and we call him Goose Brown, and he's my producer's son.
Okay. Oh. Wow.
And he used to tour with me, but he's like staying home for kids, and he does a lot in the studio, but he's this mad genius. Like I don't know how to when he played on the road with me, if I made him play like everything the same every night, he would be miserable. So I'd tell him like, Goose, just play whatever you want, buddy. We're all here for you. And he would you get a couple of beers in him and he would go ape shit. It was amazing. And, but anyway, it was him. It was mostly him. But there's a couple on there that Brent Mason actually played lead on. Right. Yeah, man. Hey, dude, you know, like, I don't know. One day I was like, man, I'll see if I can just get all the guys, you know, get all the guys that played on the records that I grew up listening to.
Sure.
And, Eddie Bayers, I got Eddie on. He was on that session.
Oh, wow.
Allison Presswood played bass. I have Janae Fleener. I don't know if you know about Janae. She plays fiddle and mandolin, but dude, you got to check her out. She is just the best. And I don't think I'll ever track again without her. She plays, I guess she's on the road now with George Strait. Yeah, dude, she's amazing. She does her own thing and has her own bluegrass band.
That's cool. The record's called Here I Am. When it comes out.
Yeah, there's a song on it called Here I Am. My friend Ronnie Bowman actually wrote it. It was it was just like it was the first song I heard that I loved after I quit drinking. Okay. And it's, you know, your brain is weird when you quit drinking. It hit me different. And I recorded it, and then I recorded it again because I didn't like the first one. And I put these songs together. Some of them are a year old, and some of them are, you know, 15 years old. I think one is actually 18 years old.
Wow.
And they're on there because nobody wanted them, and I wanted this record to be the songs, not just the songs I'm proud of now, but the ones I was back then too. And I've still got a few more of those in my back pocket, but I did want to do some new stuff. So yeah, man, the cover is a picture of me when I was 3 years old, squared off with a rooster named Big Boy. So it's the real me.
Right on, for my own interest. Why wouldn't you rather than be on a label, why wouldn't you self-produce a record? You know, or put it out yourself?
Man, you know, you're not the first person. I mean, I asked myself that. I had a decision, a big decision to make, man. I'm an independent artist, and here was this record label in New York. And, you know, my manager called me, and he told me what the record deal is. I've had a record deal before.
Uh-huh.
And I remember what I got out of it. And it was, you know, 20 years ago that I had that deal. And this was just the best deal I've ever seen. I've never even heard of a deal so generous in like points. And you know, they gave me an advance.
Yep.
And I looked at it like, you know, it's a 2-record deal or maybe a 5-record deal. I don't know. It's all contingent on whatever, you know, how record deals are.
Exactly.
But man, it makes my catalog that I own worth more. You know, it brings more people to my music and when you put a record out on your own, dude, you're doing it by yourself.
Sure.
It's, you know, if I don't have a record label, then I'm having to pay somebody to do it, you know, somebody to promote it, So I looked at all these things, man, and I went up and I met with them, and here's a group of people who had zero input on the creative aspect of things.
Uh-huh.
I gave them the record. Dude, I gotta tell you, man, this is the craziest shit I've ever heard. These people called and asked me what the next single should be. All 3 singles so far. We've already got the third one picked.
Okay.
And they have they've let me pick all 3.
Wow.
Yeah, dude. I mean, it's like not having a record label. It's just like having But they signed me, man. Like, again, I'm a 46-year-old independent guy, you know, like, they believe in me. Like, they believe in what I do. They don't think it's they get that it's not a joke, you know, it's not a game, and I don't look at it like that. It's a lot of fun, sure. But at the end of the day, this is a business, and I got 2 little kids, so I got always got to do what's best for them. And
yeah,
I say I got lucky with those guys, man. I hate to say that about any record label. But they really, really are a fantastic team. And every time we need something, they jump. And I've never seen anything like it personally.
I'm glad to hear that. The Telecaster that you have, what is that?
So that is a 9-point Telecaster. You're thinking of the one in the picture.
Yeah.
Man, I couldn't even tell you. That's just one. a guy gave that to me years ago for real pretty.
Yeah.
And I beat the shit out of it for a long time. But yeah, I think it's just a standard American Telecaster.
Okay.
After I put that one up, I started playing this. There's a boutique guitar maker. It's called 9-Point Guitars in Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
Okay.
And man, they make fantastic Telecasters. Like, just, I mean, he hand makes the pickups and shit, dude. It's okay. Insane. So I've been using them, and I got Cody on them too. So now that's what Cody uses.
And what are you playing it through?
I haven't been playing the electric in a while, but when I did, I was going through a Blues Junior.
Okay. Yeah.
I had one of those little orange phase boxes. I can't remember what they're called. Little phase shifter boxes.
Yeah, phase 90 maybe.
Yeah, probably. Just gave it that big Wayland crunch.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Exactly. Very fitting for your music.
Yeah, man. Well, you know, when you're on stage, I mean, when you got that thing hammered in your ear, it's hard not to have fun.
Yeah, oh, yeah, of course. So what lies for the future after the record comes out in February? What, like, what's the tour schedule going to look like?
Man, we're doing a lot of Midwest stuff. I know we're going to do the album release February 6th mm-hmm. in Cincinnati or Newport, Kentucky at the Southgate House. Man, I know we're going to be in St. Louis. I'm pretty sure we got some Texas stuff coming up, some Nebraska, Kansas. You know, a lot of Middle America, man. That seems to be my core audience. So, sure. I'm to the point in life where it's, you know, we'll probably hit Seattle, hit the West Coast once this year. We might do some East Coast stuff once this year, but for the main part, we're gonna try to keep it within a day or two of home.
Okay. Oh, right on. That's smart.
Yeah, man.
And is it mostly weekends or is it all week long?
It's a little bit of both. Mostly weekends, warrior stuff. But we've got a couple where we're going to have to sit around for a couple of days while we
walk. And are you traveling around in a van or in a bus or what's that look like?
And I just got me a new van last week. I got one of those Ford Transit vans. I'm going to try it out.
Exactly.
I had an NV3500, one of those old Nissan vans.
Yeah,
it was great, dude. But the transmission just kept going.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I'm well aware of that.
Yeah.
Well, and so outside of music and stuff, what do you do for fun?
Man, I collect books.
Do you really?
Yeah, man. I'm a big Ernest Hemingway fan.
Okay.
I've got a lot of his stuff, but man, just in general, I collect, I hate to say historical documents, but man, I got like a lot of letters from the White House, House staff and presidents and stuff. Nothing, you know, nothing declaring war, but just like bullshit. Then I've got some old, you know, Senate documents from like the early 1800s, but I got a lot of oil paintings, man. I like paintings. I like sculptures. I got a lot of that shit everywhere. I'm not a hoarder, man. You don't have to print that. maybe I have a problem. I don't know.
How many warehouses do you have?
Zero, but I did go to 2 thrift stores this morning.
Did you really? Right on.
I love the thrift, man. It's my thing.
Yeah, that's fantastic. That's fantastic. And just because it's coming up, what are you going to do for Christmas?
Man, you know, this is the first year that my ex-wife and I have fought like dogs over the kids. I called her, well, my second ex-wife, the one I had kids with.
Yeah.
I called her in October and I said, man, I'll figure out how to do some kind of Christmas with them, but why don't you just take them and do it? Uh-huh. Man, I don't have family here.
Okay.
And her entire family's here. So I know how important that is. So we're going to, I'm going to do a little Christmas for them on the 23rd.
Uh-huh.
And then I don't know. I might go see a girl I've been seeing. Yeah. I might go build a fire up on my hill. I don't know.
Right on. And this is, I know the answer to this only because I've been through it too, but is it hard keeping relationships going when you're playing music, when you're out on the road?
Man, I've been married 3 times, so apparently. Dude, hey, man, I'll tell you, the last girlfriend I had, no shit, she had a boyfriend the whole time that we were dating, and I had no idea, man. I mean, and that was a combination of, you know, me traveling and her just being a fucking liar.
Uh-huh.
But it's, you know... I don't know, man. A lot of it has to depend on where you are in life. Like, you know, me and my second wife, really the first one that counts, we had kids and stuff, and that was essentially just me being stupid and, you know, hooking up with a girl. And then I ended up, you know, it cost me my marriage, and then I married the girl. And that was... it was never difficult because of the travel and the road stuff. I think it was just difficult because of the alcohol and the trust barriers that were broken, like, way early. And, you know, so, you know, it's nice. You know, here I'm 46, and I just started dating this chick. But I'm sober, you know, like, I don't drink anymore. Yeah. And I have control of my life, and I have control of my career, and my kids are good, and everything's good, you know. So, and also, you know, I'm to a point in my life where it's gonna be this way. You know, it's not gonna be, it probably won't be more, it probably won't be less. It's just gonna be a nice even middle. And you know, going into things like that, you kind of learn how to manage it right off the bat. So hopefully, we'll see.
Yeah. And how much time do you have sober?
Man, I'll be 5 years in June. So
right on. Congratulations. 4.5 years.
Thanks, man.
That's a good chunk of time.
It was, I miss it sometimes, like when I see, I don't know, I'll see somebody like really enjoying a drink, not getting drunk, but somebody enjoying a drink. And I'll think, man, I wish I could do that, you know? But for the most part, I really don't even think about it, dude. I don't miss it at all. I don't want it. I know I'm better off without it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, Ward, it's been wonderful talking to you. I wish you the best of luck, and I can't wait to hear the rest of the record.
That's that, man. Thank you for having me on here, dude. I really appreciate
it. I hope you have a Merry Christmas.
Yeah, you too, man. Enjoy it. You too.
Thank you.
All right, see you, bud.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Have Guitar, Will Travel. You can catch up on all the things I'm doing at thedeadlies.com. And I'm on all the social media platforms as well. And please support Vintage Guitar and all the wonderful things they do, because they do many, many wonderful things for us guitar players. Thanks. Please subscribe. Please tell a friend. And I'll see you guys next week. Bye, guys.